Our scripture lesson today is Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. While you're looking for that, I had a great talk with Marvin. Marvin says, I see your sermon titles, and they make me scratch my head. They make everybody scratch their head. He said, and I always see if I'm going to have the scripture to look at so I can try to figure them out. Well, I'm here to tell you, it don't always work that way for me. The Lord takes me where He takes me. But I, now knowing that, may never put another scripture in there again just to mess with Martha. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32 for the sermon, the old yellow ball. We're going to concentrate on one verse and one verse only. Verse 24. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. May God add His blessings to what is yet to come as we look toward the prayer. Would you please join with me in prayer? Father, we thank You. We love You. These words that we hear today, may they be for us. May they make sense. May they lift us. May they give us something to go forward with and show others the love, the glory, the mercy, the grace, the all-encompassing salvation that is Jesus Christ. Let us hear them. Let us be thankful for them. In His name we pray. And all of His children said, Amen. Now, got something to show you. Brown envelope. 1985. Look at that. Handsome, ain't I? Look at me. Look at them eyes right there. They say, I am such an angelic child. And as handsome as I am, I don't cut near the figure that this boy does. Come on out here. When I was young, and I do mean young, when I was before teens, every house, and I mean every house that I knew of, all of them all had the same thing. They had that alarm. All of them had an alarm that made no sound. But when that alarm went off, you knew. Now you see, when I was young, you couldn't keep me in the house. The minute I could get up and get going, I was out the door. Because outside that screen door lived a world of fun and adventure, sometimes mischievousness, a lot of times mischievousness, and sometimes the world found me measured at 3 foot, which was just about long enough for me to stay away from my grandmother's yardstick. My dad was smarter than that. He'd wait for me to slow down and catch me. But playing outside was life because, you see, outside was dirt. Right? Dirt. And dirt was made to be played in. If you're a boy, you play in dirt. And toys. I had an array of Tonka toys and digging machines. I had a quarry in the front yard. My dad used to fuss every time he mowed the grass. Why do you have to play right here? Well, that's the softest ground, Dad. And the woods. And the farm. And dirt. And calves, and little baby kittens, and dogs, and silage, and dirt, and bicycles, and life, and being able to ride on tractors, and living this, and dirt. And I made sure that every evening I carried enough dirt in the house that everybody could enjoy it. And boy, let me tell you what. When that alarm would go off, that was it. It was that time, and I hated it. Oh, I hated it. I hated that alarm going off almost as much as I hated going to school. And believe you me, for the 12 or 13 or 14 years, however long it was, that I had to go to school, that was a battle royale in our house. I walked in at 15 years old and I announced to my dad, next month I'll be 16. I'm quitting school and you can't stop me. Now, I never said I was a very smart individual. And my father said, I'm telling you right now, you're going to go until it hurts or I'm going to hurt you. I graduated high school. You see the picture. I didn't pay for that. I did pay for it. My parents paid even more. I hated it. But I hated coming inside when that alarm went off more than anything. And that alarm was all over the countryside when I was younger. And that old yellow bulb on that porch lit up. It was time to come in that house. And it meant everything. It meant the day was over. It meant time to go take a bath. It meant time for bed. Every house had a porch and a yellow bulb when I grew up. But today it means something different. It means it was okay to come home.
Come on up here, boy.
Let's see if this will work. Well, how about that? Today, it's just you and me. Now, before I go one more step, you all need to understand that this sermon is to be preached to you, to Todd. But if you pay attention, you might learn a thing or two along the way. So I would advise you to listen. Now, Toddy, I want you to listen to this scripture. Because today, it's just you and me. And Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. And so he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. And there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything that there was, a severe famine hit that country. And he began to be in need. And so he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating. No one gave him anything. And when he had come to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and heaven. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, and he put his arms around him. And he kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quickly, Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring that fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. Now, that story is different to a lot of people. Pretty near everybody in this church has heard it at least once. You might know it as the story of the prodigal son. But today it takes on a completely different meaning. Today it's about you, Todd Stocks, and no one else. One of the things that I've always loved in that story is looking at it from both sides. Having been the son and realizing the father. If you look at it from what it is, this is a child that grew into a young man and decided to graduate. And he took off having the foundation of his family. And he lived wild. He lived hard. He lived crazy out there. And I did this. I don't even know if I've done it here. But a while back I did this story. The story of the prodigal son. But I'm going to do it for you in Appalachian American style. All right? This is one of my favorite ways to do it. And you see, because a lot of people listen to that scripture and they don't get it. So, we live in Appalachian America, and I'm proud to be it. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be one. And I'm a hillbilly, not a redneck. There is a distinct difference. So, I'm going to tell you the story of the prodigal son in Appalachian American talk. And if you all don't understand it, you can pick up a dictionary on your way out. And all you English teachers, put your fingers in your ears. Now there was this fellow who owned a farm, and he had a lot of cows and calves, and he farmed a great amount. He had 150 acres of bottom land, rich black dirt, and that farm had grown, and this farmer had made it, and he had a big old spread, and he brought in a wife, and his wife gifted him with sons, two of them, and the elder son and the younger son, they worked together all their time, and they plowed fields, and they cut furrows, and they rolled stone. And they put up cows, and they trimmed hooves, and they milked, and they kept them pigs going. And they prospered, and they bought more land. And pretty soon, he owned all the bottom land around him, plus the land what laid on the lee side of the mountain. And when it came time to go to market, he could forevermore shell down the corn. And one day, his younger son, having freedom and love and understanding and a desire for the world, had reached this magical age, somewhere around 17, 18 years old, and decided he knew everything and wanted to go. And so he went to his father and he said, "Look, Daddy, I want my share of this farm. I know you've got it laid out that way. Now you sit down and you figure up what it's all worth. The plows, the horses, the tractors, the barn, the brand new dairy we put in. And you lay it unto me, and I'm going out and seek my fortune." And the father's heart broke. But he did what his son asked because he knew that his son wanted to step out in the world and there weren't no way Daddy could let it happen. But he had to. And so the boy took off. He climbed in his new pickup truck and out the lane he went, dust a-flying, to seek the world. And he found that everybody in the world was your buddy when you had a big fat billfold. They all wanted to be around you. They all wanted to say, "Toddy, buy me this. Toddy, let's eat here. Hey, what did we have for supper last night?" "Well, we had lobster." "Well, we should ought to have that again tonight." "You're right. On that farm, I never had lobster. So we're going to eat that again." And suddenly his pickup truck wasn't good enough. And so he had to go out and get himself a brand new silvery car and make a payment onto it. And he lived off that money, never thinking about work. And all of a sudden, the money run out. And the town that he was in, the big city, had no work. And so he tripped on outside the city until he come upon this farm where the guy was tending after hogs. And he said, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to go out and hire on with this man if he'll take me, because I know something about farming." And so this man hired him on to slop them pigs day and night. Now the one thing about a pig is, what a pig won't eat, which is much, they'll put down underneath their feet and walk on it. The Bible says he longed to have the pods, the corn husks with which them pigs was chewing on and then spitting on the ground. And finally, the Bible says he came to his senses. In our speak, it say, suddenly one day it dawned on him, why in the world am I doing this? So he put his thumb out and got on the Shoe Leather Express and hitched his way home. And along the way, he decided, I'm just going to apologize to my father. These past 3-4 years have taught me much, and I realize what I have done. If he would just simply let me work in the fields, I'll live out in that hired hand shack. At least I know I'll have back to my foundation. I need to get home. And every night, Pa would go out and sit on that front porch, and Ma would light that old yellow bulb, calling their son. And one afternoon, after the chores were done, as he sat on the porch waiting, he saw him coming. Now the boy looked down and saw Daddy and knew what was coming, knew he was going to get thunder. And so he rehearsed as he got ever closer to that homestead, I'm sorry, I've sinned, can you just let me work out there in the field? But the father caught him full on a dead run and gathered him up unto him and held on to him for a fortnight and said to him, boy, you ain't never wandered far enough from this lane that I'll not never love you. Come here. And the boy said, Daddy, I was wrong. Just let me go work in the fields. And the man gathered him up and said, Mama, put that food on. Spread that table out and tell everybody my boy's home. And I'm going to love on him forevermore. And the boy looked over his shoulder at that moment and saw that old yellow bulb was lit. You're going to go into the world now in the hardest way. And there ain't nothing I can do or they can do to make it any easier. I'm sorry. But in all the things that you'll see, Toddy, in all the trouble that you'll come across, in everything that will beat down upon you, you have Jesus Christ. Robert Louis Stevenson, a great writer, and I highly recommend that you read him, tells of a storm that caught the vessel he was in off a rocky coast and was going to drive it into the rocks and break it to pieces. And everybody on the boat was scared. And in the middle of that terror, one man decided he would venture up to see what was going on up on the boat deck. And everybody hollered at him and fussed at him and said, don't do it. But he made his way up to the pilot house. And he was looking through the window at the steersman. The man was holding on to the wheel unwaveringly, strong and determined. Inch by inch, he began to turn that ship once more away from the danger out to sea. The pilot looked out and saw the man watching him and smiled at him. The passenger went below and gave a note of cheer. I have seen the face of the pilot, and he was smiling. All is right. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, you're going to have a place to come back to. A lot of graduation speeches all start off the same way, and I sat through one of them. Not just yours, but mine. And they all started off the same way. Today, you're going to go out into the world and try to conquer it. That's rubbish. I would love for some college or some high school to turn me loose at that lectern to talk to the graduating class. They'd probably add another year because them kids wouldn't want to leave. You're going out into the world. And nobody can help you except for Jesus Christ.
What's that mean?
Tracy Lawrence has a song, what I have loved all of my life ever since I've heard it. And I tried to figure out the chords to it, but there's two in there that I just can't get. So you're going to have to suffer through. It's called The Front Porch. And I love this song. I know this song. And I want you to listen to it. And has anybody here ever heard it? Yeah, of course you have. It was where my mama sat in that old swing with her crochet. It was where granddaddy taught me how to cuss and how to pray. It was where we made our own ice cream those sultry summer nights. Where the bulldog had her puppies and us brothers had our fights. There were many nights I'd sit right there and stare into the stars. To the sound of a distant whippoorwill or the hum of a passing car. It was where I first got up the nerve to steal me my first kiss. And where I learned to play guitar and pray I had the gift. If the world had a front porch like we did back then, we'd still have our problems, but we'd all be friends. Treating your neighbor like he's your next of kin wouldn't be gone with the wind. If the world had a front porch like we did back then, the purple halls and pintos, I've shelled more than my share. Lightning bugs and crickets danced in the evening air. Like a beacon, that old yellow bulb would always lend me home. And somehow Mama always knew just when to leave it on. If the world had a front porch like we did back then, we'd still have our problems, but we'd all be friends. Treating your neighbor like he's your next of kin wouldn't be gone with the wind. If the world had a front porch like we did back then, that old yellow bulb. Get that thing and get it over there, get plugged in. I don't care. Put it right here, Wally. Put it right here. Right here. Toddy, as you go out into this world, you need to know how much your family loves you. I want you to understand something that's more imperative than anything in this world. I want you to understand that no matter where you go, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, no matter where you will be, you can always come home. Because of your salvation with Jesus Christ, because of your acceptance of Him, because of the family that loves you, no matter where you go, no matter where this world takes you, no matter how great that journey is, we'll always leave that yellow bulb on. Jesus Christ will always be there. You cannot sink low enough. You cannot get dirty enough. You cannot do enough things to separate yourself from His love. As you begin your journey in this world, you go in this journey with Him. We need to start you off the right way. Nanny, you want to come up here? So she goes all the way to the other end of the bench to get out. Oh, because of the rail. First lesson. You ready? Don't never go all the way around the barn to go in the front door.
this is from the whole church, and this is to remember us. Not that you're ever going to let you forget us, but this is from us. God bless you.
Well, what are you sitting there staring at it for?
You want me to open it now? Or?
We make our kids open our presents, so get at it. Card first.
Congratulations, Brad. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to give you a future and a hope. Dearest Tawny, you are loved. This family, this church, this love will be here for you until Jesus calls us home. Never, ever forget that. We love you and so very proud of you. You're a long-mounted family.
I didn't wrap that, so if it takes 12 hours to get in it, you can thank one of these women. If I'd have wrapped it, you'd have been in it in 6 seconds. Did you get it?
Congratulations, graduate. Jeremiah 29:11. Thank you.
When you write with that, you think about us. Toddy, you have been given a new beginning, and you are saved. And you have the old yellow bulb to remind you where home is. Now it's time for you to get something else. At age 16, Andor Foldez was already a skilled pianist. 16 years old, he was experiencing a troubled year in the midst of the Hungarian personal struggles. One of the most renowned pianists of the day came to Budapest. Emil von Sauer was not only famous for his abilities, but he was the last surviving pupil of the great Franz Lindsay. Von Sauer requested that Foldez play for him. And Foldez obliged with some of the most difficult works of Bach, Beethoven, and Schumann. When he finished, von Sauer walked over to him and kissed him on the forehead. "My son," he said, "when I was your age, I became a student of Lizet. He kissed me on the forehead after my first lesson, saying, 'Take good care of this kiss. It comes from Beethoven, who gave it to me after hearing me play. I have waited years to pass on this sacred heritage, but now I feel you have deserved it.'" Toddy, you've had a difficult beginning. You have gone through so much. You have lived through things that you should never have had to go through. And yet, I know you are ready to take your next step. There's a poem that says, "Lord, I've never moved a mountain, and I guess I never will. All the faith that I could muster wouldn't move a small anthill. Yet I'll tell you, Lord, I'm grateful for the joy of knowing Thee and for all the mountain moving down through life that You've done for me. When I needed some help, You've lifted me from the depths of great despair. And when burdens, pain, and sorrow have been more than I can bear, You have always been my courage to restore life's troubled sea and to move these little mountains that look so big to me. Many times when I've had problems, when hills I've had to pay, and the worry, when bills I've had to pay, and the worries and the heartaches just kept mounting every day, Lord, I don't know how You did it, can't explain the where's or why's. All I know is I've seen these blessings, these mountains turn to blessings in disguise. No, I've never moved a mountain, for my faith is just too small. Yet I thank you, Lord of heaven, you have always heard my call. As long as there are mountains in my life, I will have no fear, for the mountain moving Jesus is my strength and always near. You step forward into the world today to be a part and a light and a beacon.